Morning.
Morning.
We've already touched quite a bit on what I want to share with you, so that's good. Means I don't have to go on too long. I had what folk call a significant birthday this week. I reached the ripe old age of 65. Thank you. You used to get your golden handshake, didn't you? Your clock and off into retirement. MP45, yeah. Fat chance of that these days. I can't even get my state pension for another 2 years or so now. It's quite a thought to think how long people are going to have to work in the future, isn't it? But anyway, even at the very young age of 65, I managed to have some senior moments. I noticed them every now and then. One of the stupidest ones is that we've got, Heather's got one of those boxes that you can speak to and it plays the music and the news and all the rest of it. And it's often out in her room left on. And I go out thinking, oh, I'll turn that off. Annika, Alice, all sorts of names. I've got it written down today, so I know it's Alexa. The other day, Heather had the telly on, but she had it on the radio. So there's no picture, just the Radio 4 news coming through. And Heather said, oh, you can turn that off now. So I stood there in front of the telly, proud of myself, remembering the name, going, Alexa, stop. Of course, nothing's happening because it's the telly. I could go on and on. It's not that I'm worried about aging or anything like that. It's just you notice the little things, don't you? And I remember saying to Rich the other week when we were, when we were walking and with your boots and all the rest of it and getting down and getting them on. And I said, I'm sure your arms get shorter as you get older. You sit on the edge of the bed and you sort of work up enough to get down to get your socks on. And you think, I'll look around and see if there's anything else I can do while I'm down there. So, yeah, 65. But we don't really make a great thing of birthdays and their passing in our household. You know, they come and they go. But as I drove into work on Wednesday, I was thinking, crumbs, 65. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. I think I was born around about 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was going into work at 9 o'clock, so I was already 65 years old in a few hours. And then as I thought that, I thought, wait a minute, I'm 65 a few hours and a few minutes and a few seconds. And I began to have a sort of like existential, philosophical, I don't know what you call it, discussion with myself about where's the present? When is the now? And how long does it last? When does the present become the past or the future? So I had a little look, looked up some people, and apparently there's a famous physicist called Max Planck. And he worked out that the present lasts 10 to the minus 43 seconds. So that's no time at all. Apparently it's the time it takes a photon to do whatever a photon does. But it's, you know, it's there and it's gone. Others suggest that the present lasts about, they looked at the brain and the way the brain responds to things and thinks about things, and they thought it lasted about 200 milliseconds before you're on into the future or the moment's past. Others argue that the present mathematically doesn't have any duration. The present doesn't exist. Only past or future. Others say that the only thing that exists is the present, is the now. The past is past, gone. The future has not yet arrived. The present is all that there is. And we have to live our lives in the harsh light of what we decided in the past, or in the regret of I should have of the past. The future, well, that's going to come, but I live in light of what I've decided before. So it's all a bit up in the air. If we live in the present, in one view, that's and gone. In another view, the present doesn't even exist. Another view, the present is all that there is. And we live, in a sense, as captives to what we decided in the past, not knowing what the future is going to bring. Help. But what does the Bible say about past, present, and future? Well, lots, but my mind sprang immediately to Hebrews 13, verse 8, where it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. And what is he like in that sameness? He's always the same. Well, Jesus himself said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." He is the foundation we've been singing earlier. We want him to be the center. Thanks, Heather, for the song. He is what we stand upon, cornerstone, the sure foundation. The place where the past and the present and the future meet, if you like, or can find a foundation to be stood upon is in the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Here, the past, present, and future coalesce. Past sins, past regrets can be forgiven and healed. You know, we often carry stuff from back then, where something's happened either to us or to loved ones, and we haven't quite found the ability, I don't know, to live in forgiveness or whatever we need to help us through it. We carry parts of it with us, and it can take away some of our joy in the Lord. Yes, we carry on. We continue, we're here, but we're hurt. But at the cross, you can find healing, even for things that you've carried for a long time. The cross isn't back then when I first saw the light. The cross is ever with us. We should ever live in the shadow of the cross, because it's there that we can kneel and find forgiveness and healing. But it's also the future is assured to us, because Jesus didn't stay on the cross, did he? He rose again from the dead. He burst forth into life. Death, where's your sting? We can be sure as well of being healed for anything in the past, but we can be assured of future hope and life, power, if you like, because Jesus rose from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is at work in each one of you to bring about his will, to bring about life in your bodies, to give you hope and to give you endurance to carry on. We're on a journey, aren't we? We never ever need to learn to allow Jesus to meet us in all of our mess, in all that we are, in the centre of our being, to meet with us. Because like Ian said earlier, it's not the following of this rule and that rule. what marks us out as Christians is Jesus is with us. I often talk about, but the verse that I always think of is when Moses said to God, if you don't go with us, what's the point of us doing anything? Because it's only your presence that makes us your people in the earth. Only your presence, Lord. And he is with us through whatever we do go through. And some of us right now, I know, are going through some tough times. And some things happen and you think, why? And such like and so forth. But even in that, it doesn't say if you go through troubles, does it? In the Bible it says, when you go through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. No matter what you're actually feeling like in the light of something, Christ is with you. And he's ever there to give the weary rest for the soul. Ever there to bring life where you can only think of, well, it's a bit arid here. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He is always with you. We used to sing, it's a scripture from Philippians, but we used to sing it as like a round years ago, and which went something like, what's the voice? I am confident of this very thing. And then everybody would sing that back. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. He will complete it until the day of Christ. He will. He is with you yesterday, today, forever. We stand firmly. We're not floating around wondering if the past has got us or the fruit is, well, what is it going to bring? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but take advantage that he comes to meet with you and to lead you on. There's another verse in Philippians. I'm trying to remember it. I know. For it is God who is at work in you to bring about his will and his good pleasure. So we don't need to be trapped by past decisions or past trauma. We don't have to live in the shadow of unforgiveness or bitterness or anything like that. We can still bring really old things that we've carried with us. We can bring them freshly to the cross. Jesus will meet with you. Or you have something currently that you're not living up to what you should feel that you should be living up to. Jesus said, come. Come to me today. I will give you rest. I'll forgive you. God always forgives, not because, well, it is because he loves you, but ultimately it's because he loves and honors Jesus and what Jesus did for you on the cross. So you can confess your sins, your hurts, your misgivings, sometimes doubts. Because today at the cross, you can find rest for your weary soul. And we can continue in God daily and we continue and we change daily to become more and more as he is, so that we become as he is in this world. And yes, storms and such like, but we can know the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, present with us as we continue in our daily lives. And just as a little word, we need to confess that to one another a bit more. And be honest about where we are in some things, and allow others to pray and help us as well. Yes, ultimately Jesus, by his Spirit in us, but also he lives in each one of us, and we're called together to help us. In the end, we can only come to Jesus as we are, in honesty and openness, whether we're in a wonderful, wide and lovely place or we're a bit hemmed in. What Jesus looks for is humility before him, to say, to stand and be honest with him of who we are and where we are, and allow him to meet with us and to shape us and mold us into becoming more and more like him.